I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is VPR. Vermonters have been following the Democratic presidential primary campaign with particular interest. Whether you're an ardent supporter of Senator Bernie Sanders or recoiling at the prospect of him winning the nomination, it's safe to say that Vermonters have more than a casual interest in the outcome of next Monday's Iowa caucuses. VPR sent a team of three reporters to Iowa for a firsthand look at what the Democratic race looks like in that state. We also solicited your questions about the Iowa caucuses, and our team has a lot of answers for you. So I'm going to hand it over now to VPR's Peter Hirschfeld, Taylor Dobbs, and Patty Daniels for a reporter's notebook of sorts on what they observed and learned in Iowa.
Okay, guys, this is Patty.
This is Taylor.
And this is Pete, and we're going to start with the basics. We got similar questions from Lisa on Facebook, Kirsten on Twitter, and Marianne via email, and someone on Reddit as well. They all ask, what exactly is a caucus? What even happens at a caucus? And how does a person get to attend a caucus? Patty, why don't you take a stab at it? How do the Democrats caucus in Iowa?
Right. And the Democrats do this differently than the Republicans do. Any legal voter can participate in a caucus. There is same-day registration. You choose your party when you register and walk in. Each candidate is going to have a representative at your local neighborhood precinct, and they're going to make a case on behalf of that candidate. There's no secret ballot. You literally have to stand in the corner of your preferred candidate, and then they do a quick count. And if one candidate doesn't have a 15% threshold of support, then all the people who were in that corner get to choose a new candidate to go to. So there's about a half an hour. The supporters of the remaining candidates get to argue and make their case. And then after that, when the votes are counted, the delegates that come out of that precinct are allocated to the remaining candidates based on the percentage of support they got in the room in that precinct.
That's not the end of it, though, Patty.
No, there are a few more layers of bureaucracy to go through in the Iowa Democratic Party. Delegates will then meet at the county convention, and then coming out of the county convention, there are more delegates that are assigned to the state convention, and then coming out of the state convention, there are delegates assigned to the National Democratic Convention this year in Philadelphia who will ultimately cast Iowa's votes for their preferred presidential candidate. And some things can change at each level of that voting. But right now, what everyone is focused on is what will individual Iowans have to say when they show up at their neighborhood caucus precinct on Monday night. Now, if you're a visual learner, please go to VPR.net. We have an amazing video that will explain to you in 2 minutes with Legos exactly how a caucus works.
And we got another listener question from Jackie and a similar question from Nathan. And that's, what information sources are Iowans using to make their decisions? What media outlets? Is it print, radio, TV, internet, social media? Pete, you asked people about this. What'd you find out?
So all of those media are in the mix. I'm going to cop here to being a little bit of an AM talk radio junkie, and I can assure you that an enormous portion of the local programming in Iowa right now is dedicated to hashing out the details of the primary. The big difference for folks here, though, is their direct access to candidates. People told us they have a very high expectation not just to see the candidates speak, but also to hear detailed speeches and question and answers with audience members. People are not satisfied with a short rally.
All right. We also got a question from Beatrice who asks, I would like to hear from young people or any age people who don't vote. Why do they think that's okay? So I spoke with a couple young women in Waterloo, Iowa, who told me why they don't caucus.
I think most people don't do it. They don't have time, you know, or maybe they don't feel there's a candidate that they feel strongly enough about to do it for.
Okay. This is how I feel. I work second shift. I have no time for anything but work. So when I get home and look at CNN and HLN, that's my time to catch up on what's going on. So I really don't have time. So
we do vote, though. We do go out because our opinion does matter. We do vote, and we do hope there's a change.
And I thought that was interesting because she was emphasizing the difference between voting in the general election but showing up to caucus in what would be a primary for her state.
But it is true that a relatively small portion of eligible voters in Iowa show up to caucus. In most years, it's around 20%, and that's according to the Iowa Caucus Project at Drake University. But 2008 was a little bit different because Iowans were apparently really psyched about Barack Obama, and nearly 40% of eligible caucusgoers participated then. So that was a big increase. And that year, it was also a 5% increase among young voters, according to the Pew Research Center. And those young voters overwhelmingly supported Obama over Hillary Clinton. But that makes the question this time, with Bernie Sanders polling really well among young voters, will they turn out again on caucus night for him?
And Pete, you reported a story this week that looks at the intersection of youth voters and women voters. What did you hear from Democrats about the draw of supporting a woman as the party's presidential candidate?
It's definitely weighing on their decision. We heard this over and over again. But I want you to listen to one caucus goer. She's a nurse named Jean Ross. She also happens to be the president of National Nurses United, which is a 185,000-member union that was among the first to endorse Bernie Sanders. She traveled from her home in Minnesota to be in Iowa to campaign for Bernie Sanders.
I will tell you that as a profession of mostly female, we are bitterly disappointed that it can't be Hillary. We would so like to see the first female president. And if Hillary were a Bernie in female form, we'd be right with her.
Now, that's just one voice, but she does represent a demographic that both the Clinton and Sanders campaigns are keeping really close tabs on right now. Taylor, a few Vermonters asked, and I think everybody wants to know, why Iowa? Why is Iowa the first in this primary process?
Well, the short answer is that the electoral process that Patty was describing earlier takes a really long time. And because there's so many steps before the national convention, it needs a long lead time. So the caucuses have to happen early. And that's the historical reason. But now a lot of Iowans are just really proud and it's sort of a prestige thing and they're trying to protect that. One Vermont listener wrote us that Iowa is an obscure place with a ridiculous voting process. And I heard from a guy named Glenn Smith in Atlantic, Iowa, and here's what he had to say about that.
It's a very enviable position, and the attention it brings to Iowa, it's a little bit of a heady responsibility, but we appreciate that status. And I think Iowans as a group, well-educated, engaged, probably are very well-suited to that role, that first-in-the-nation role.
And so there's this fascinating contradiction where you see these relatively low turnout numbers in terms of the percentage of Iowans that are actually showing up for the caucuses. But the folks that do go to caucus take it very seriously.
That's what I observed as well, that if the turnout may be low, but those people who are turning out, because the process is so rigorous, they're really dedicated to it, and they tend to be extremely high information voters.
So a few notes on geography, just to kind of try to help everybody get situated in Iowa. It's more or less of a rectangle with the Missouri River on the west and the Mississippi River on the east. Des Moines is the state capital, and it's roughly in the center of the state. The western half of Iowa tends to be conservative and Republican. The northwestern region has a strong base of evangelical Christians, and eastern Iowa leans liberal and Democratic.
But before we headed to Iowa, we got this from Carl in Putney, who said, "I grew up in Iowa and then moved here to Vermont. My first trip back to Iowa, I was amazed at how flat it was and how little my Vermont depth perception was worth there. Please use extra care when driving around, especially when passing on two-lane roads." Very kind of you, Carl, to be thinking of us.
Yeah, that wasn't a question, but we really appreciate the sentiment. We made it. We drove more than 2,000 miles while we were there. There was so much driving to get all over the state, but we had no accidents and no tickets that we know of. There were speed cameras. But we didn't think it was quite as flat as Carl said. There's tons of open sky, but there's also rolling hills kind of all over the state. And I actually took a time-lapse video of one of my drives west out of Des Moines so that people could see how it is.
David asked on Facebook, "I would want to know whether Iowans have an image of Vermonters which benefits or hinders Bernie."
Okay, I will say that Iowans think very seldomly about Vermont is the impression I got. I asked a lot of people this, and I usually got a raised eyebrow like, don't really know anything about Vermont. I guess the message there is, get over yourselves, Vermonters. People aren't really so focused on us everywhere else. Taylor, we also asked the flip side of that question to Iowans, though. What image do you want Vermonters to have about your state of Iowa?
And we definitely found out that Iowa nice is a thing. You know, they always say people are really nice in the Midwest, and we actually heard that Iowa steps it up a notch. And that was kind of our finding as well. We had one cab driver who said that Iowa is the Canada of the Midwest, and everyone is really friendly here. And here's Selma Pepik, who we met at a Hillary Clinton rally in Iowa City, talking about that.
Iowa is a place where you come and just do your own thing. People in Iowa are just so welcoming to everybody, and we have so many different ethnicities and so many backgrounds, and we're not about corn and all that kind of stuff. Yes, we do have it, but that's not what it's all about.
So people there really love where they're at, and I think a lot of Vermonters could relate to that.
Final question, and this one comes from our coworker, VPR's own Leslie Blount. She asks, does the caucus become a holiday-like celebration? Do businesses take advantage of all these people needing to be somewhere at 7 p.m. and offer early bird dinner specials, post-caucus parties?
Okay, I love the idea of a post-caucus party. I refuse to believe they don't exist, but no one I talked to fessed up to throwing them. Here is a more prosaic description of caucus night from Ann Selzer of West Des Moines.
For me, the fun of caucus night, it's sort of driving down the street at about 6:30 and you see the garage doors all opening as people decide, okay, here I come. I'm going to go caucus. And there's a little bit of, you feel the ground pulsing a little bit. It's an exciting time. No doubt about it.
I also talked to a Des Moines resident who told me that he actually hops around town that night to watch the cascade of concession speeches one by one. And he describes this and his coworker standing next to him saying like, man, you are a caucus junkie. I don't know that that's so normal, but there is definitely an enthusiasm and electricity on caucus night in Iowa. So guys, final impressions from whirlwind trip to Iowa.
Iowa nice, I will attest to, really is a thing. Iowans were so friendly to us, so accommodating, and really very thoughtful, with very few exceptions. Everybody that I approached was happy to offer their insights and their perspective on the race and anything else I wanted to talk about, frankly. They're fiercely proud of Iowa, and it was a real pleasure to be out there.
I was really struck by, we were talking about a poll as we were getting there, that Iowans are mostly optimistic. And we were kind of confused by that, being that they're in the center of the presidential campaign and things get a little bit rough on the campaign trail. But after being there, I totally get it, because people really, whatever their views are, they really want what's best for this country. So I left kind of feeling optimistic myself.
Yeah, I think that was my impression too, Taylor. You may not like the way that they choose on Monday night, but it won't have been arrived at casually. You know, it's a weird process, but I can also see that it's a great example of democracy being a participator sport.
And of course, the question everybody wants the answer to, but one we can't give you yet, is who's going to actually win this thing? If you stay tuned to VPR Live on Monday night, February 1st, we'll have the answer for you then.
That was VPR's Peter Hirschfeld, also Taylor Dobbs and Patty Daniels, all reflecting on their reporting trip to Iowa and answering your questions about the caucuses that will be held there on Monday. They mentioned an animated video with Legos of how the Democratic caucuses work in Iowa. You should definitely check that out. It's at VPR.net, where you can follow all of VPR's campaign reporting.